Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
I tell you, Boniface, I'm really enjoying the Nasheed this morning, and Alhamdulillah, you're really adding to a very buoyant program, and Alhamdulillah, living near the Indian Ocean, we must have the motion. So that the people, yes, the early morning broadcast, and if you catch it on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, hey, I tell you, you'll really enjoy it, and I really enjoy someone on my platform, and that is another buoyant and a broadcaster, our very own Yusuf Mali. He's a, as I said, a proper broadcaster. He's also a political analyst. He knows, you know, most of his topics. And he's also a health expert and a herbalist. Yusuf Mali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And who can that fanochen, Amay Buta?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, bikul hal. It is a prachtig ogeniani derban, and subhanallah. We say shukr Allah for the beauties, bounties Allah bless us with each and every day. How's your day, Uncle Shafa?
I tell you, I'm always up in the morning and, you know, busy serving the Ummah and enjoying my broadcast. And I thank Allah for giving me that opportunity of letting me enjoy it. So, Alhamdulillah, as, you know, we are both, I know, spiritual men getting our spirituality in order. And then having the company of over 2 million people around the world. Can it get any better, Yusuf?
Subhanallah, no, subhanallah. When we serve Allah, we serve Allah selflessly. And alhamdulillah, may Allah guide us and protect us to be of that ummah which is always thinking of Allah first and how to serve Allah in the best of our capacities, inshallah. Ameen.
Now, Yusuf, since you are a broadcaster, and you know, the beauty with us is that alhamdulillah, we are given the opportunity of you know, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, we even have the opportunity of comparing the broadcast of the, you know, the mainstream broadcaster or those mainstream broadcasting house to that of Islamic broadcasting. There is a vast difference. We are here on Islamic broadcasting. We are on the straight and narrow, whereas the mainstream broadcaster, okay, if he says things against the establishment, then he's in trouble. But he's virtually given license to even use other superlatives. Your thoughts on that, Yusuf?
SubhanAllah, yes. When we look at Islamic ethos, you're looking at, we know the restrictions, what we can do, what is halal, what is haram. We know what is deviant, and we know what is actually advised and what is good for our heart, body, and soul. When you look at the deviant broadcasters, those are ones that literally there is no tip on their mouth, there is no restriction of their dial, they have no understanding of what is halal and what is haram, they have absolutely no care of either insult or discriminate. So, subhanAllah, as Muslims, we understand what is right and what is wrong, and Allah guide us and protect us. We do make mistakes, but those issues, as I said, only we know as mistakes. Whereas with the other broadcasters, their mistake is their butter and bread. They want to make mistakes and hurt and inflict harm to others. So may Allah guide us and protect us and guide those who want to be on the right and right and straight and narrow, inshallah. I mean, may Allah guide them to be on the sirat al-mustaqim. Uncle Shafan?
I mean, Yusuf, as you said, Allah guide us, and inshallah, Allah make it easy for that. And Yusuf, Boniface, I think Yusuf's got his, speakerphone on, but perhaps you can, on your side, when I'm talking, Boniface, you can mute because I can hear that on my ear. Yeah. But alhamdulillah, what I can tell you, Yusuf, is mainstream media, and you'll notice most of the media houses, when we're talking media in this sense, the electronic media, the print media, and so forth, generally it is owned by, individuals or a cartel that owns most of the major media platforms of this world. And, I believe the headlines are written and the headquarters and every other outlet must carry the same, headlines so that the paranoia and the uncertainty amongst mankind is manifested and amplified and, done to such a level that some people are ending up in depression, the suicide levels are, at optimum. All these things, and these are all the whisperings of shaitan. And how blessed we are, Yusuf. I want you to keep that in your back of your mind. And how blessed we are as Muslims that we, mashallah, we are conscientized and we are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided that we are connected with the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yusuf.
SubhanAllah, Uncle Shafat, you have actually hit the nail on the head. Look at, as you mentioned, many of the media houses are controlled by a few families, and they are controlled on what their narrative is. We can see that when it comes to Islamophobia and it comes to the understanding of what is Islam, how they are told what to say and how to lambaste Islam. Look for the faults, look for individuals that is falling on the wayside and publishing it as that is the norm. We see people going extreme. As we know, subhanAllah, our beloved Nabi Muhammad SAW said in moderation, everything should be in moderation. And we have those who then go the extreme, and then those people become the talk of the town. And those are the people that have become the issues that is the fruit of Islam, subhanAllah. No. Islam is not that. Islam is beauty. It's a religion of guidance. It's a religion of submission. It's not a religion that is forced on anyone. It's how you submit to it and how you submit to the will of Allah. It must be that way you choose. It's not the way it's forced upon. And that is a directive of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, we look at so many of the aspects where mainstream media wants to lambaste and wants to create this Islamophobia. What are they doing? They don't, because they don't understand Islam. And but the thing is, they know their listenership. They know how they have conditioned them. They know any wrong or superlative or one wrong apostrophe will be highlighted as something that's wrong with Islam, subhanAllah. And that is what how they have indoctrinated and brainwashed their listenerships. And the media houses are, they are Hollywood stars because they created Hollywood. Every moment, every day, we are part of this Hollywood programming. This Hollywood programming where we see every blockbuster that's coming out that shows the leading criminal, the leading evil person in the plot, isn't a person wearing a beard and has on a thobe and is a fundamentalist or a person that does extreme work. So subhanAllah, that is how they have brainwashed the world. And therefore you have individuals that will look at a woman wearing niqab and saying, hey, you are wrong. Then they want to rip the niqab off. And there has been so many incidents in the US and in Europe where women have been molested like that, even by police officers. This the level of conditioning has become so intense, has intensified so much after 9/11, because Islam is regarded as the fastest growing religion. Now, how do you control and regulate a religion which is that of submission? How can you regulate it? It's not a religion that is forced upon you. So once you guided by the light that is Islam, and you feel that, I feel complete when I'm practicing the religion, subhanAllah, that's when the individual becomes Muslim. Some people don't, it takes them a lifetime before they decide, and some people like overnight, because they have been going astray all their life and now they finally see Islam. So that is how the stories and so many of these narratives that's coming out, preachers and priests that have become Muslim, nuns that have become Muslims, those who are practicing in their religion and found that there was something missing and they found it in Islam. Now those are the things that the media are trying to pick up and try and suppress, that it should not be highlighted. They pick it up and push it one side and say, no, that's not important. Don't let people see it, because people are going to see it and they get questioned. people Christian, then they become inquisitive. And people can become inquisitive, they become Muslim. Scientists have done it. So many different narratives from a person that was a publisher of books up to a person that was in the army to the person, a school teacher. There is so many stories, even those of worst kind of lifestyle, bikers and those who are doing, who become Muslim, find it in prisons, they become Muslim. And when they become Muslim, they become the best, subhanAllah. Allah guide them, inshallah. I mean, so therefore you have the media house that have hired the most professional spin doctors to spin the webs of deceit, spin the web of evil so that people can fall to that trap.
Yes, Yusuf, very eloquent there indeed. And I can tell you, Yusuf, also, when you look at the different scenarios of Malik al-Shabazz, he said this. He said that the media is so powerful, it can have you loving the oppressor and hating those that are oppressed. The media is so powerful, it can brainwash and program millions and millions of people. And then you find that the media, you know, especially when you look at the Palestinian issue, and there you find that these media that we talk about, you know, we have the conglomerates, and most of these conglomerates of this world happen to be Zionists, and these Zionists control the media, and the narratives that you get about Palestine is not even seen. There's hardly anything said about they're called the Palestinians terrorists, but they are terrorizing, maiming, murdering, and perpetrating genocide on innocent men, women, and children, taking away their land, making them live in the biggest prison and the concentration camp on earth, a prison that is the country they call that has no airport, that doesn't have a harbor, that doesn't have anything. They're at the mercy of this Zionist regime. And then to make matters worse, Yusuf, we have these despots or these Arab states around doing absolutely nothing for the Palestinian brothers and sisters. Perhaps as a hot day here and a hot day there, but on the whole, playing 45 managers for the Zionist council. I don't know, what's your thoughts on that, Yusuf?
Subhanallah, when you talk about Palestine, Uncle Shafat, the first word that comes to mind is Biruh Bidam Nafdiqa Ya Aqsa. Biruh Bidam Nafdiqa Ya Aqsa. My blood is for Palestine. So, subhanallah, may Allah guide us and protect us to each and every Muslim to have that in their heart and in their mind that no matter what happens, we must protect. We must be there to be answerable to those who are in need of help and assistance, especially our Palestinian brothers. And you are so correct. Today we have the issues where Palestine has become a mundane issue. It has become an issue that nobody wants to talk about. It's something that is of a distant past. Uncle Shafat, we look at history and we look at what France have done when they entered Tunisia. They killed a million Muslims. When they left Tunisia, they killed a million more. But for the time when they were there, they killed 10 million Muslims. And subhanAllah, the world kept quiet. And look at what happened with Germans. The Germans entered the Congo and they killed hundreds of millions of Africans and Muslims. Look at what they have done. So the thing is, if we look at the past and saying, why is the world not saying anything? Look at who the perpetrators are. Look at who are the people orchestrating the worst of terror and terrorism on the world. They're the ones that's in control of the media. They can control the narrative where they look like angels and they feel that they are angels compared that to a Muslim, subhanAllah. So we should not feel indifferent or feel helpless because media is in control. No, subhanAllah, Allah is with us. And as long as we have Allah in our heart and we have that sentiment that we are there for those in need of help, subhanAllah, we carry that legacy of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We carry that legacy with us. But that is where we should always have our heart and mind connected to. But unfortunately, media has controlled us to the point where our children are no longer looking at the issues that matters. They're looking at the issues that is actually mattering to the tank of the vehicle, where how much petrol is in the vehicle, what the electricity tariffs are, what the road is like, the criminals on the road, who are the criminals. They're not really looking at the bigger picture. Why? Because their mindset has been and their attention has been taken away of looking who is the one that's orchestrating this evil plot of changing our paradigm. It is, subhanAllah, it's the greater picture. That is where we need to connect all the dots. Look how the fiat currency is controlled to the point where the fiat currency is in control of our lives, of our livelihood, of our best interests, on all of those things. So, subhanAllah, Uncle Shafat, there is a greater picture at play. And alhamdulillah, as long as we have Allah in our heart, we can see it. We can identify it. We can notice it. We can see what is going on. And may Allah guide us and protect us to have that greater understanding, inshallah. Uncle Shafat.
Actually, Yusuf, while you're talking, there's quite a few messages coming on the screen, and I think I need to address one or two with you. I like this one on top, and it's from Asanda. He said, "Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat. What a conversation with your good friend, Yusuf Bali. I didn't know he was such a powerful all-rounder. Then he joined the conversation. I would like Yusuf to comment on the people of Palestine, especially the mothers and the youngsters there, where the mothers, you know, so readily accept the children of being martyrs and, you know, hoping to even contribute more to the cause. And what about the children, Yusuf Mali? So much of guts. They are the David taking on the Goliath, and they still, they swing out, sending fear and shudder into those IDF members who are literally out of fear firing at them." That's a good contribution from Asad, Yusuf. How do you respond?
SubhanAllah, I agree with you 100%, my brother. SubhanAllah, we see the scenes every day and night. You see it on my status, the amount of killing, the amount of maiming that is going indiscriminately, unattested, unreported to the world, that nobody knows what's happening. Because, as you mentioned earlier, this is a prison. This is a silent prison, where the prisoners are the inhabitants of the country, are the true inheritors of the country. So they are being controlled and put into a camp and enclosed with no food, no water, and told to die. And if they're not dying fast enough, they will be shot. And if they're not shot, they will be their sewage will be switched off so that there can be infestation of diseases and E. coli can be part of their lives, subhanAllah. We worried about E. coli on our beaches in Durban and in Cape Town, subhanAllah. Yeah, they are living amongst the feces because their sewage systems have been bombed. The electricity have been bombed. So here we have a situation where human rights there is no word mentioned or even expressed to fight for the human rights of a Palestinian. But when we look at other issues that around the world, immediately you have those in power, those who are elitists, those who, we stand up for Ukraine. We stand up because they have the sovereign right to protect themselves. They have the, subhanAllah, why the double standards? Why, when it comes to Yemen, there is double standards? Why is it when it comes to India and various other countries throughout the world, is there double standards? There should not be double standards. We are Muslims. And as Muslims, we identify when something is wrong. And we must highlight it. If we cannot contribute with action, we can contribute with our word. And if we cannot contribute with our word, we'll contribute with our du'as. And may Allah accept all our du'as, inshallah. Khoshifat.
Ameen, Yusuf, and you know, Allah accept all our du'as. And then you get other individuals that will tell you, you know, but you guys always are focusing, you South Africans, you know, the people from the subcontinent will tell you, but you only focus on Palestine. What about Kashmir? How would you respond to them, Yusuf?
SubhanAllah, there's a big difference when you talk about Palestine and you're talking about any other country in the world. Yes, there is evil that's happening in every country, subhanAllah. We can mention it, even in South Africa. We can mention it. We can talk about it. We can have conferences. We can have rallies. We can protest, subhanAllah. Yes, we should. We must. It's not saying we mustn't. But what makes Palestine different is, for example, we know that who sovereignly controls our Haramain. And we do know that if we speak up against what will happen, what did happen to those individuals. So the thing is, we're looking at our third Haramain, looking at the one where the beloved Nabi Muhammad SAW performed Salah with the Anbiya, the one that our Nabi Muhammad SAW had left his footstep on his journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about Masjid al-Maqdis, we're talking about Aqsa. So immediately we're talking about something that is also similar to that of, not similar, I can't compare it, but is that of that level of holiness and sanctimonious to us when we talk about Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, who's in charge of it? Subhanallah, there's no Muslims in charge of it. Why? Because they have been taken control of. They have been invaded and they have been conquered. And the conquerors are the ones that is hurting and maiming the Muslims and hurting the sanctity of our Haramain. So subhanallah, therefore, Muslims will talk about it. It should be on our agenda. It should be on our radar. We're not saying that what happens in Kashmir and what's happening in Rohingya, what's happening in Burma and various other countries is not important. Even if it's a non-Muslim country, it should always be important because we are Muslim. It doesn't matter if the person's a Muslim or not. We should care because Allah has put us all on this dunya for us as Muslims to be the guidance and the guiding light for others. That's the ethos of us as Muslims. So, subhanAllah, if I see something is wrong, he's not Muslim, so I walk away. No, subhanAllah, even if he's not a Muslim, we do not know that da'wah that we have given by being that love and that understanding and that pillar of hope at that moment in time, the person doesn't become Muslim. And subhanAllah, then we carry that weight, the weight of that love that he has towards Islam. SubhanAllah, that is something that will guide us to Jannah. Subhanallah. So therefore, we cannot say he's not Muslim because his color isn't right, his ethnicity isn't right, or his race isn't right. No, subhanallah, Islam came for all nations, for the whole world. So therefore, we must be that example. So Palestine should be on our radar so people can see. Look, can you see? You want to point at all the other countries. Good for you. But look at what's happening there. Why? That country is important because it's still controlled by the elitists. It's still controlled by every pharmaceutical company is branch is found in Tel Aviv or in Israel. Look at all media houses is found in Israel. Looking at all the leading technologies in biowarfare is found in Israel. Look at everything that is wrong, what's going around the world, or what has a tie to Israel. So why do we want to deviate away from where the cause or the crux of the matter is to other countries when we want to tackle the one that is trying to indoctrinate us and teach us that, look here, don't worry about the Palestinian man. Their lives is expendable. Look at the lives of those people over there because those are the ones that's nearby you. Those are your family. These people over here, they have no connection with you. You don't identify yourself with them. Subhanallah. That is being pushed out. The narratives that have been pushed out so that we can change our perception and our love that we must have towards Palestine. And no, they're not going to get it right. Why? Because it is strong. Our love for Islam is strong. And the love for the deen and the love for the Haramain is strong. So subhanAllah. May Allah never take that away from us, inshallah. Ameen. Uncle Shafa?
No, absolutely. I mean, the government has actually gone pear-shaped. It's gone rotten. And, I don't know which way the president will be in when he was questioned about the price hike on electricity. He said, no, I don't know much about ESCOM. So, I mean, he's someone that's not hands-on. And then they talk about Gwede Mantashe being Minister of Energy and all that. And many are of the opinion that you've got a dinosaur there and the world is moving towards AI and so forth and getting into speed mode. And he still wants to be in the coal mode and so forth. Maybe he wants the steam train back and so forth. Maybe take out all the electronics and let the steam run the energy and Allahu Alam. But, Yusuf, when you look at all this, there are a lot of people that are, in fear-mongering mode, that are in panic mode, that have been programmed to worry And these people, it seems, deliberately, you know, as we spoke about the media houses being controlled and patrolled by a single entity, it seems as if most leaders of this world are captured by that type of group that is, you know, hell-bent on extermination of half of the mankind's population and ushering in a new world disorder. Yusuf, your comments?
Subhanallah, as you see, I mentioned the last word, disorder. That is the crux of everything. We're looking at the disorder of maintenance, the disorder of service delivery. We see the disorder in management. We see the disorder in executive. We see the disorder in ministerial duties. We see the disorder even in presidential duties. Subhanallah. Well, not only in South Africa, we see it throughout the world. It's not to say that it's only in South Africa. But if we look at us and see how well we have done for so many years, we were the leaders of electricity. We were the leaders in not only in energy production, but even our currency was a very, very, very strong. Our leadership in natural resources and even up to medical. Our capabilities from the MRI machine to Chris Barnard to so many different devices that has been brought to the world from South Africa. Today, we have a 20% pass rate. So what do you expect for the future? So if you look at many of our dropouts are now the best criminals, and they are conditioned and programmed to be the next ministers. So subhanAllah, what's the next future for this country? It's really left the dogs and to the squalor of the dogs, and that is what we're seeing, and that's going to happen. And what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit by and laugh and say, hey, you can't speak English? Or are we going to sit up and say, we help this person? Let's see if we can make a difference in people's lives and uplift them the way they should be given their dignity. Inshallah, we can see better men, inshallah. I mean, Uncle Shafat.
Yeah, absolutely, Yusuf. And, you know, I like to move on here because I notice a lot of people are sending messages and say, Brother Shafat, you got Yusuf Mali there, who's a health expert and a herbalist and so forth. But please, Brother Shafat, I've moved on to gas. And I want to know, is gas better than electricity, or is gas affecting my health and my wife's health and my children's health? Please, Yusuf, advise. That's a very good question coming through, Yusuf.
Most definitely, gas is very dangerous. We do know that quite a few people have succumbed last year to the exposure to gas or generators inside the home. It should never be inside the home, only outside. It should never be used because you are using combustible fuels, and fuels do give exhaust fumes. Which is carbon monoxide, is extremely dangerous to each and everyone. You can die from it. So definitely you should not have it near your ventilation area. It shouldn't be near your window. It should be on the outskirts of your property, also not too far, because today criminals actually are looking for those generators that's left unattended. So the best thing is to have it in a caged area or an elevated area so that criminals will find it difficult to steal. Not to say they can't steal it, they will find a way. If they are very much eager and wanting to steal something, they will steal it. So just make it more difficult for them to steal, but please do not use a generator or any combustible machinery inside your home, because there is fumes. Fumes will be the death of you or your family or loved ones. Of course, Shafat?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking specifically about the gas stove. You know, this beautiful gas stove, it got five plates and the gas oven, and you can cook in a jiffy. And sometimes most of the opinion is that the food tastes better on a gas. What's your opinion on that? You know, you've got this marshmallow-looking gas stove, but they're right in your home, and you're using that. What's your thoughts on that, Yusuf?
Well, Uncle Shafat, it's more safer than the gas that's being exhausted with fumes or like carbon monoxide. It's a little bit more safer. But is it safer for our planet? No. LPG gas has emits a methane gas, and methane is extremely bad for the ozone. It's extremely bad for the planet. When you have a high buildup of methane, it will actually destroy the ozone. So even though, as you mentioned, it's much more better to use the stove, it's much more, you know, some people feel even more healthier because you're having the crispness of the food that's much that you find only in gas. Compare that to electric stoves, there's a big difference. But alhamdulillah, it has a better benefit. It cooks faster, so you don't use it as long as you would use the stove. So it has a quick turnaround time. But the area should be well ventilated and ensure that that gas do leave your area. But as I said, it's not safe for the environment. Uncle Shafat?
Well said there, Yusuf. A lot of people are sending messages in. Let's look at this from Tahir. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Rushat. Already enjoying the program, and full marks to your friend Yusuf Mali. He's my Buddha, ready, loving for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I know that Yusuf Mali is also a herbalist, and also he does alternative medicine. I want to know, how are these types of individuals who deal with alternative medicine, are they embracing a new technology? How would they survive in the world of AI or the AI revolution? How do you respond to Tahir, Yusuf?
SubhanAllah, Uncle Shafat, let me put it like this. It's very important that you do embrace technology. Even though you are busy with herbs, you are busy with old technology, it's very good to know how your the old technology is compatible with new technology. For example, when people use my treatment, I always tell them, go for your scan, even if it's an MRI scan, especially with cancer patients. I would tell them, first go do everything that's necessary, then you come to me, bring back the report, and then we will use and work and focus on what was identified as a problem. And then the herbs and treatment that I will do will focus on specifically that. But alhamdulillah, my treatment focuses mostly on cleaning the blood and improving blood flow, improving blood circulation, which modern technology is not capable of doing it yet. They will give you various different chemicals, various different, they'll even give you new type of robotic treatments, but they will damage your body and damage you to the point where it's irreversible, even brain damage. So whereas old technology, we talk about herbs, we're talking about botanical treatments, it's something the body knows, what the body identifies as a DNA footprint. It has Allah's fingerprint on it, which is the DNA fingerprint, which is Allah's uniqueness. It's found throughout the planet and throughout the universe. DNA is the source code of biological entities in our environment. So our old technology of herbs and botanical treatments has a greater effect on the body than that of modern technology. Modern technology should be used to identify where the problems is and let old technology take it further and help the body to fight, because it's your immune system's responsibility to take care of your body. And inshallah, may Allah guide and protect those who needs and assistance to those who will offer them the complete holistic opportunity to heal themselves, inshallah. I mean, Uncle Shafat?
Yusuf, and look at this message. Ashraf D says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm enjoying the program. My brother Shafat Yusuf Mali is really keeping us entertained and informed. I'm 65 years old, and by the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one by one, my tooth is falling off. And I'm so grateful to see that they are whole and nice looking when I look at them, and I don't have to go to the dentist. I have accepted it. My age, I must get ready for it. All the smiles that I've been giving all these years, I must stop smiling, because now I'm looking like a springbok. How do you respond to Ashraf B there, 65 years old, Yusuf?
May Allah bless you. Lots of
till akhira, inshallah. I mean, you must remember, smiles is what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is also part of the sunnah. Smile is a da'wah that you have given to others, and the minute people smile, it's contagious. So subhanAllah, smile and let people smile with you. There should not be a reason why. Even if you have no teeth, it will actually make people laugh and people enjoy themselves more. So subhanAllah, don't be shy. Let the world enjoy your smile. Brother Uncle Shafa?
Yeah, and he says he doesn't have to go to the dentist, and he's, you know, it happens. It has so many processes that are natural. Even, you know, when you get pricked by a thorn, and if the thorn goes in, and naturally, after a week or so, after 2 weeks, it comes out on its own. Talk to me about that phenomena, Yusuf.
Well, subhanAllah, it's the body's mechanism of actually rejecting anything that is restrictive, anything that is abnormal, anything that is invading or evasive to the body, invasive to the body. Now, for example, when you are pricked by a thorn with a needle or a foreign substance which the body can recognize as a biological, footprint or fingerprint like a thorn. It is still biological. When it comes to a needle, when it comes to metals, it doesn't immediately reject it because it cannot identify it, so it does not know if it is right or wrong, so the body is left confused and just there's inflammation on that area, but it takes sometimes it doesn't reject it at all. Therefore, you have implants, people having putting implants in the knees, the hips. There is a rejection period, but it doesn't reject it completely by pushing it out. Unlike that, when you come to thorns and stings from a bee, looking at all those biological entities, our body recognizes, nope, you don't belong here, get out. Then it pushes it out, and a week or 2 weeks later, it's no longer there. But when it comes to something that is solid, like, for example, metal of nature or plastic of nature, the body cannot identify if it's right, and immediately it either accepts it, but it, if it does reject, it will take a long period before it actually does that. Uncle Shafat?
Yeah, very interesting indeed, Yusuf. And as you say, right, people, if the glass goes in, go to the doctors immediately. But those people that are fortunate that they got a prick there, and maybe they're putting some mercurochrome and this and that, it comes out, they are very fortunate indeed. Yusuf, also, you know, you look at many other scenarios that take place, and people, they say, okay, a mosquito is coming to the home and I want to get rid of it. So they're using the well-known agarbatti or the loban, or giving, smokes. To get rid of all these insects and as a repellent. What's your views and thoughts on that?
My view, let the mosquitoes enjoy themselves. Come on. You want to chase the mosquitoes away. They must also survive. They must also live. SubhanAllah. Well, Uncle Shafa, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can apply creams to your mental creams to your skin to help prevent and to evade them. But the thing is, mosquitoes are attracted to our breathing, which is our CO2 gas. It's also attracted to our heat. So first, it will find us. Just by us breathing, it will find us where we are. And then once it comes near to us, it will identify the heat, the hot spots, and we'll look for those areas which is high in temperature. That's the area they will try and suck blood from, because that is where the high blood flow is. So mosquitoes are attracted to heat and attracted to carbon dioxide. That is the common knowledge on the science of mosquitoes. To get rid of them, well, there's a variety of things you can do, from mosquito nets around the bed, or you put a mosquito net over you if you don't want to rub yourself with creams and feel sticky all night. You can also have various types of aerosols that are available that will automatically disinfect the area from mosquitoes. There's a variety of things. And then you have the naturals also, which is your using your
subhanallah, from not aniseed, peppercorns, the peppercorns in the lemon, that works very well. Also the using potatoes, also very good to be to use. Then you actually put that nal cheese, or they put that peppercorns, the corns. You can put that in the potato and throw it over with some lemon. You can do that. There's a variety of alternatives that you can try. But people can contact me. We can go through the list and see what will work for them. Uncle Shafa.
Right, JazakAllah for that. And Yusuf, this message says, Assalamu alaikum, brother Yusuf. I do have ingrown toenails. Is there a easy way of taking it out? Perhaps you can give me, as an herbalist, a better alternative than going to the doctor. Yusuf, how do you respond there?
Well, ingrown toenails is usually a phenomenon associated to diseases. For example, diabetes. You find ingrown toenails prevalent to diabetics, and also there's other diseases also associated to it. Looking at ingrown toenails, you're looking at plasters with Epsom salts and bicarb, very good. You need to soften the nails or the cuticles around the nail. Those are things that you can do on your own. Try put your foot in hot water, add some eucalyptus and some to the water. What that does is soften the cuticles and the areas of your feet, making it much more softer. So you want, especially if you have calluses around the feet, that's very good mixture. So that's the same that you can do for well, but a lot of people have also used lemon also on using the raw lemon and rubbing it on the toenails and then putting it in the hot water and soaking it in that hot water with the eucalyptus and the thyme. It works very well. There's a variety of other options that they can also do, but well, it will take a bit longer to explain all of the rest, as I would mention. Uncle Shafat?
There's a part two to the question, and the brother says, why does my toenails discolor? I find that very frightening. Why is this toenails discoloring, you see?
Uncle Shafat, with a disease, and it's predominantly in our age, it's diabetes. You see, when there is a fungal infection, when there is brittle toenails, yellow toenails, then it's to do with the diabetes. When the toenail starts turning purple and discoloration is much more intense, up to black, that means there's already gangrene sitting in the toenails, and that's the time you have to worry, because even before that, when you already have the pins, the needles, the peripheral neuropathy, of pins and needles under the feet, the discoloration is have already set in. Now that you're on stage 4, stage 3 and stage 4 of your diabetes, that is when clients already come to me and say, the doctor said, I've got no circulation in my feet. My feet is turning purple. My feet is actually dead. I don't have pins and needles any longer. I don't have feeling. The temperature changes, like hot flushes under my feet. It has also subsided. It's gone, but I don't feel my feet any longer. That's a great worry. But alhamdulillah, I've treated those patients and people with that condition with my treatment, which is NBC, Natural Blood Cleanser. It's a complete body detox, so it helps with even preventing amputation on the feet, but it depends. I need to know how bad the condition of the feet is. That's why I always request people to WhatsApp me with a photo of the feet so that I can understand the condition, because if there is severe discoloration where is the whole foot is black, I can't help any longer. But if your toe is black or their toenail is black, and we can try and save the foot. But the area that is black, that's gangrene, so there I can't help. But my treatment does help with septicemia. It does help clean out the septicemia in the area, also improves circulation. So that's all that I can help with, inshallah. I mean, so if they want further information, they can contact me. My number is 081-515-6694. Uncle Shafat?
Yeah, I tell you, a lot of people do ask me for your number, but JazakAllah just for giving that out to save me from getting all those calls. But Yusuf also Look at this message. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Really a great show indeed, Brother Shafa'at. Keep it up. And Yusuf Mali, please, dear brother, tell me, why is the Ummah captured by constipation? Is it because we are into too much refined food and we're eating a lot of designer food, which is so bad for our health? And thirdly, can you tell me what I must take for constipation? Some of your herbs. Inshallah, I'll take it after every meal because I simply love my designer food. Your response.
SubhanAllah. We are on this dunya to enjoy. And may Allah guide us and guide us on what to enjoy and how to enjoy it holistically. Very importantly, what people have neglected and are neglecting is water. We need to increase water intake because our body is made up of 70% water. So when we are consuming, we are diluting the water with various different contaminations of different foods, so that water is no longer just pure water. So what happens is that the concentration then toxifies in our body. So what is important when we drink water, often we actually cleanse out of that saturation of the saturated concentration of water and actually dilute it with clean water. And the body then becomes more, energetic, more vibrant, because the higher the water intake that is pure and clean, the better the body. That's where constipation is involved. Why? Because you will urinate it and it will flow better out of your system, which is the solids that is stuck in your stuck in the rut in your gearing system in your body. So when we lubricate our body with water, I recommend filtered water, spring water, not tap water. There is problems with tap waters throughout the world, not only certain areas, but throughout the world. So we're looking at spring water or natural spring waters. We increase that and not carbonated. I'm not saying people must drink Coke or drink anything that is carbonated in any way. SubhanAllah, no. That's a big no. Why? Because you still are contaminating our blood, our water source, which is our natural water flow, because it will affect the organs that need the water, pure water. So if you want to get rid of constipation, drink a lot of water and add in some senna leaves to it. Very good. You have some senna leaves with grapefruit and the last one is lemon. Add those with the senna leaf, mix it, put it in a blender, and have from that at least a tablespoon with every meal. You will see after your designer meals, you will see how nicely you go to toilet and clean yourself from all the contamination. But drink a lot of water. Uncle Shafan?
Yeah, you make a lot of sense there, but alhamdulillah, you need to bring that tape spring water springing from the Table Mountains right under Yusuf Mali's home. Yeah, I know you got it directly from the mountain right to your your top there, Yusuf. I tell you, really great morning with you, and perhaps, inshallah, your parting words this morning.
May Allah make it easy for each and everyone, inshallah. May Allah guide us, protect us, inshallah. I mean, and also look at what we can make a difference with in this world, inshallah. I mean, alhamdulillah, I'm still in Durban. I'm with my uncle, who has a unique establishment for ISIS, where Dawah, Islamic Dawah Center. Giving dawah to the community of KZN. But with my collaboration, we are looking at a frail care center that will help and assist those who are struggling and in a predicament of help. So may Allah guide us and protect us and doing this healthy, it is correct. And if people want to know anything further, feel free to contact me. Shukran, Uncle Shafa. Some day further, an awesome, brilliant show as usual. And until we chat soon, inshallah. Until then, ma'as-salama.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.